Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 7th day of September now, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's start off today with some more of these coincidental stories that are basically signs of the times and kind of work our way up. First, QC Poultry in Montebello, California, saw its processing plant for chickens go up in flames over the weekend, adding to what the story from Collapse.News calls a spate of accidental fires targeting food facilities over recent months. Because of the intensity, by the time firefighters got there, they simply focused on keeping the fire from spreading to other buildings. And they do ask the question, just how many of these accidental fires do we have before it starts getting at least a little bit suspicious? Next, from Bob Unruh at WorldNet Daily, another one of those stories that says sometimes it's not suspicious, it's just plain stupid, or worse. The green agenda, he says, is now demanding elimination of, ready, natural gas in homes nationwide. Evidently, the nutcase watermelon crowd, that's green on the outside, red on the inside, doesn't like people being able to heat their home with natural gas furnaces or appliances. And the move could trigger replacement costs of about $12,000 for affected homeowners. The plan, though, is being slammed as representing a federal government out of control, says one state lawmaker. It is being pushed by the Communist Sierra Club and dozens of other so-called environmental groups who are demanding that the EPA take action and ban the use of natural gas for home heating everywhere in the country, because the federal agency absolutely has to regulate what they call deadly pollution from this energy source. Why? Well, because they emit nitrogen dioxide and carbon dioxide that must be classified as new stationary sources of air pollutants. Good grief. Now, I'll admit it, folks, when I first saw this story, my first thought was, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Nobody could be that stupid. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, California. And oh, yeah, look what's infesting the White House. It's not about stupid, folks. It's about destruction. And they're up to it, and they're out for it. Stupid just lets it happen. Meanwhile, U.S. Representative from Colorado, Lauren Boebert, was direct in her response to the idiocy, saying, quote, unelected bureaucrats do not have the power to unilaterally decide major questions, like how Americans heat their home. And she's technically correct, but that hadn't stopped them yet. Adding, we're facing the worst energy crisis since Jimmy Carter, yet these inflation-loving leftists are more worried about how to take away Americans' reliable heating than they are about creating viable solutions, unquote. And that pretty well summarizes the problem, folks. Look what they've done to Europe. A lot of people over there are now realizing they do intend for them to freeze this winter. Related story to make the point, courtesy of Mike Adams, Natural News, SHTF Plan, and some of the financial sites, in another truly astonishing announcement that demonstrates the level of stupidity in Europe, German steelmaker ArcelorMittal, one of the largest steel production facilities on the continent of Europe, has now shuttered their operations due to high energy prices, because they've cut off their supplies to punish themselves for their own stupidity. So now they not only can't afford to pay for fuel, they basically haven't even got any. Quote, with gas and electricity prices increasing tenfold within just a few months, we're no longer competitive in a market that's 25% supplied by imports, said their CEO, Rainer Blaschek. Well, this comes after other announced closures of aluminum smelters, copper smelters, and ammonia production plants over the last few weeks. Ammonia, necessary for fertilizer, is now 70% offline in the EU, and it's not enough, of course, that they're going to freeze to death. They intend for them to starve, too. So if you think inflation is out of control already, just wait. Let's shift gears to another aspect of the same problem. Do you still know anybody, folks, who's stupid enough to go out and take yet another Zyklon B booster injection? Here's one from the Epoch Times that says, a study, in this case by three Italian surgeons, analyzed blood from 1,006 people who developed symptoms after they were, duped, I guess is a polite word, after they were duped into taking a Pfizer-BioNTech or Moderna mRNA modification injection, and they found that 94% of those people have, quote, aggregation of erythrocytes and the presence of particles of various shapes and sizes of unclear origin, unquote, 1 month after getting their Zyklon B injection. The study then goes on to call them graphene family superstructures. Erythrocytes, in case you're curious, are a type of red blood cell that, at least when it's allowed to do its job, carries oxygen and carbon dioxide. Quote, what seems plain enough is that metallic particles resembling graphene oxide and possibly other metallic compounds have been included in the cocktail of whatever the manufacturers have seen fit to put in these so-called mRNA vaccines, and the authors do put it in quotes. in the study's discussion and conclusions. The study was released in the August 12th edition of the International Journal of Vaccine Theory, Practice, and Research, and basically, it represents an even larger sample of people confirming what other studies have demonstrated, like one from Korea recently entitled Four Materials in Blood Samples of Recipients of COVID-19 Vaccines. And of course, doctors like Sherry Tenpenny, who's been ahead of the curve in vaccine adverse reactions and believes that these metallic structures could be related to the strange clots that embalmers have been finding in corpses that they treat around the country since the poison poke pandemic. She told the Epoch Times, quote, whatever's actually found to be in the shots, whether the components are graphene, aluminum, crystalline amyloid, disintegrated fibrin, highly charged nanotech particles, or something else, the disruption in the blood demonstrated on these slides is devastating and irrefutable, as are the corresponding histories of the patients involved. Oh, and by the way, of the 1,006 cases that they studied of people with symptoms, only 58 of them showed a completely normal hematological picture via microscopic analysis. In our experience as clinicians, they added, these mRNA injections are very unlike traditional vaccines, and their manufacturers need, in our opinions, to come clean about what's actually in the injections and why it's there. Unquote. There's a very much related story, courtesy of Ethan Huff and Natural News, about how embalmers continue to find clots, this time foot-long clots in dead bodies of, what else? The fully vaccinated. The bodies, it begins, just keep on piling up, many of them loaded with clots that are sometimes more than a foot in length. Trouble is, they're not really what you might call conventional blood clots. Embalmers all around the world have seen a sharp uptick in fibrous and rubbery clotting ever since Operation Warp Speed to the grave, we might now have to add, was fully launched. Fully vaccinated bodies, it says, are reportedly having to be dredged of these clots, which don't appear to even be made from blood. Said Mike Adams, the health ranger, we've tested one of the clots from embalmer Richard Hirschman via ICP-MS, and we also tested side-by-side live human blood from an unvaccinated person. What sets these clots apart from blood clots is that they're mostly devoid of minerals such as iron, potassium, and magnesium. Were these actual blood clots, then they'd have high levels of these minerals. We're told some of the clots being pulled out of people's bodies are even more than a foot long, in some cases running the entire length of an individual person's leg. And that, folks, is a lot of clotting. And certainly, says the story here, no joking matter, when considering the sheer number of people out there who are still alive and have these things, whether they know it or not, growing inside of them. Said Hirschman to the Epoch Times on their story, prior to 2020 or 21, we would have probably seen somewhere between 5 to 10% of the bodies that we would embalm having blood clots. Now, though, 70% or more of the dead bodies are clotted. Quote, we're familiar with what blood clots are, and we've had to deal with them over time. For me to embalm a body without any clots, kind of like how it was in the day, prior to all of this stuff, well, he said it's rare. The exception now is to embalm a body without clots. Wade Hamilton, cardiologist with an understanding of clots, told the Times that the lack of magnesium, potassium, and iron in the clot samples suggests that they're, quote, not the usual post-mortem clots. In fact, he said, there was no blood flow in these vessels. These structures raise but did not totally answer some interesting questions. The combination of the low electrolytes and novel, very strong string-like structures suggests that these areas where these string-like structures are seen in the blood vessels did not receive circulation. They're not normal post-mortem findings, according to experienced embalmers bent on obtaining total body vascular access from one side, which, because of the unusual clots, they were unable to do. He went on to suggest the structures could at least partially be composed of spike proteins that unfolded and formed a, quote, different configuration. Let's move on then from real science to pure evil. This comes from the Biden-Fuhrer's top COVID advisor. And guess what he wants you to do?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Ashish Jha. No, folks, not Goldfinger. He looks like a good guy by comparison. Who now says it's not enough you take one Cyclone B injection. He wanted people to take their flu shot and their COVID poison poke all at one time. Get this. Here's the headline from the Daily Mail. Quote, God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and the other one for the COVID shot, says the White House's poison poke pusher in their plans to coerce people into getting annual shots. The poison poke, quote, should be as routine as the flu shot. This next item is more stupid pet tricks from the White Whorehouse. Karine Jean-Pierre snapped back at Fox News' Peter Doocy, who dared to ask her a question that exposes the level of their not just idiocy, but evil, and no small amount of hypocrisy on top of it. Says the story, White House Press Secretary Sick Karine Jean-Pierre shared a testy exchange with Fox News reporter, an actual journalist, Peter Doocy on Tuesday after he dared to ask her if she believes that Donald Trump stole the 2016 election. Now remember, of course, how the Biden Fuhrer has been saying anybody that dares to believe any election could possibly be stolen, especially his, is some kind of a MAGA Republican, probably deserving of death. But in this case, Doocy was pressing Jean-Pierre amid GOP-led outrage, they say, over Biden's repeated attacks on those MAGA Republicans, the pro-Donald Trump faction of the party, who they say, get this, folks, believe the ex-president's lies that the 2020 race was stolen from him. Oh, yes. How dare they? Statistical impossibilities, 2,000 mules, and tons of actual evidence, be damned. But he did point to her prior comments, suggesting that no, it was Trump who stole the 2016 election from the anointed one, Hillary Clinton herself. Oh yeah, and she also cast doubt on GOP Governor Brian Kemp's narrow win in Georgia during the next election in 2018. But Jean-Pierre blasted Doocy's comparison as, quote, ridiculous. Maybe because she realizes that it was actually Hillary who tried to steal it from Trump and couldn't get away with what they managed to do in 2020. And you know they're not about to admit anything of that sort. But it's not just the Biden Fuhrer who's now openly declared war on the truth and those who believe it. Here's one from Alex Newman via the Epoch Times. UNESCO, the so-called United Nations Educational Sick, Scientific Sick, and Cultural Organization, has also declared global war on ideas and information they consider to be, by definition, because guess what? They define it. Misinformation and, of course, conspiracy theories. According, says the piece, to the Paris-based UN Education SICK agency, which released a major report on the subject for educators, SICK, this summer, it's conspiracy theories that cause, quote, significant harm and form the backbone of many populist movements. Among other concerns, they write, conspiracy theories, quote, foster and reinforce harmful thinking patterns and exclusive worldviews. Oh yeah, and that's not all. They also reduce trust in public institutions and, worse still, maybe scientific institutions. Yeah, I guess they mean like the FBI and, of course, the great God Fauci. The science incarnate, which might even cause people to decrease their desire to reduce their carbon footprint, freeze to death and starve, said U.S. officials in their arguments in the document. Oh yeah, and you can guess which part of that they actually coincidentally left out. And get this, this is the kind of crap that the UN is pushing now. They said that while, quote, all conspiratorial thinking threatens human rights values, some, without elaborating, some conspiracy theories, they said, are more equal, more dangerous than others. And of course, teachers are now even encouraged to report their students to the authorities for daring to engage in, what was it Orwell called it? Oh yeah, wrong think. Examples of conspiracy theories that they cited in the report included everything from the widely held and almost but not quite respectable beliefs like climate change denial or that there was any possibility of manipulation in federal elections in the United States to what they call more far-fetched notions. And when I read this, I thought sure they were going to say that Michael Obama is actually a man, but no, it says that Michelle Obama is actually a lizard. I guess that's damning with idiotic comparisons. And isn't it clever, folks, how they smokescreen the more close to the truth, but probably actual conspiracy in the process? Explained Patrick Wood, director of Citizens for Free Speech, which might be on the Ministry of Truth's arch enemies list now. The only thoughts being corrected are those contrary to the globalist narrative. This proves that the focus is on protecting their own narratives, he said, nothing else. UNESCO now joins a censorship cartel that includes, but I guess is not limited to, the European Union, the U.S. government, or what now passes for it, folks, the World Economic Forum, socialist media giants like Two Facebook and Twitter, and especially Google, he told the Epoch Times, anyone who does not parrot the globalist narrative is by default considered to be a conspiracy theorist. And the strategies that the document goes on to outline include those designed to prevent people from being allowed to believe in conspiracy theories in the first place, as well as tools for dealing with those who already believe them. Oh yeah, and there's another conspiracy theory, like maybe they have re-education camps, or let's call them what they are, concentration camps, already in mind on that score. And on that front, of course, education and schools are at the center of the new UNESCO plan to combat conspiracy theories, says the piece. Quote, the fight against conspiracy theories and the anti-Semitic and racist ideologies they often convey begins at public indoctrination centers. No, school. Yet teachers worldwide lack the adequate indoctrination or training, said UNESCO Director General Audrey Azoulay about their newest effort. That is why today UNESCO is launching a practical guide for educators so they can better indoctrinate students on how to identify and debunk conspiracy theories. They also hope to expand their efforts to combat the spread of what they refer to as conspiracy theories in the realms of press and social media. No more free speech for you. All of this, they say, builds on the wider work we're doing to strengthen media and information literacy, to better prepare learners to be good little slaves, and navigate a world of algorithms, artificial intelligence, and invasive data collection. What a crock. They're collecting that data so they can control these non-thinking little automatons that they're raising. And who are they kidding? Answer, anybody gullible enough to believe that what they're doing here is anything but totalitarian and evil to the core. From there, let's spend a few minutes looking back at what were called conspiracy theories just like this in December of 2021. I think this will be educational and a great reminder. Believing a lie certainly can kill you. First, via the Joe Rogan Experience and Jeremy Lofredo writing for The Defender, a publication of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s ChildrensHealthDefense.org, about how in a recent episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, Dr. Peter McCullough joined Joe to discuss the plandemic, COVID vaccines, alternative actual treatments for the booga booga flu, and what McCullough pointedly termed the mass psychosis that's come over the medical profession, sick, amidst the plandemic and planned COVID crisis. Dr. McCullough, a practicing internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist, as well as chief medical advisor for the Truth for Health Foundation, told Rogan from the outset of the pandemic that there were a number of sinister ways that doctors worldwide were being restricted from prescribing, well, first, hydroxychloroquine, or HCQ, even though the science shows it's a very effective early treatment for COVID patients, and already approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, I'm going to let that slide for a second, to treat other illnesses. And as we've seen, folks, the suppression of HCQ was just the beginning. He even noted that early on during the pandemic, the U.S., quote, had the right idea and stockpiled HCQ, only later to refuse to release any of the millions of doses from that stockpile. Obviously, in hindsight, it's now very clear why. And do you remember that during this same time frame, one of the world's largest hydroxychloroquine manufacturing facilities outside Taipei in Taiwan, quote, mysteriously burnt down? What an amazing coincidence. He went on to tell Joe Rogan that the reason so few medical professionals are willing to speak up against the new anti-scientific COVID regime is that they're under what he called, yes, a mass formation psychosis, meaning that the COVID fear-mongering and propaganda has placed almost the entire professional field in a state of irrational complacency. Out of about 1 million doctors in the U.S., he said, quote, only about 500 doctors really understand what's going on. Furthermore, concerning the poison poke itself that causes the body of those inflicted with it to produce spike proteins like a little bioweapons manufacturing facility, Dr. McCullough said, quote, the spike protein stays in the body for at least 15 months. If we start vaccinating every 6 months, and by that he means the booster, of course, I think the spike protein will never get out of the body. It then accumulates, and progressive accumulation is very worrisome, unquote. From there, this piece, courtesy of Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, that they in turn credit to the CDC and Bloomberg. Admissions involving patients with COVID climb, what, in spite of all the vaccinations and boosters, climb 14.4% across the U.S. in the week ended December 9th, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. But in New England, where the rate of poison poke self-immolation is exceptionally high, that rate was more than double, 33.5%. This latest surge, says the piece, is what's happening in what is perhaps the most vaccinated area of the United States. Who could have thought it? In Massachusetts, where 88% of the population has had at least one dose of the COVID-1984 Cyclon B injection, the state's planning to send out more than 2 million rapid antigen tests to the poorest communities, according to the socialist governor there, Charlie Munger. And remember, in New York, their replacement for the disgraced mass murderer and serial abuser, Kathy Hochul, ordered masks must be worn inside all businesses in the state, largely because the dumbed-down populace has been taking the poison poke, although she didn't admit that, and as a result, cases and hospitalizations have been climbing. Since Thanksgiving, New York State's 7-day average case rate has increased by 43%. Hospitalizations are up 29%, while the percentage of vaccinated Americans has increased about 2 percentage points over the same period. Get this. Clearly, they say, not fast enough.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
To curb the spread of the Booga Booga Fauci bioweapon flu. And not to be outdone, as you already know, the utterly communist megalopolis of New York City has gone an additional totalitarian step and imposed their vaccine mandate on all private sector workers starting December 27th. While in Maine, New Hampshire, and New York, they have all activated the National Guard to help hospitals treat COVID patients. Why? Because they've gotten rid of all the talented and actually intelligent people, doctors and nurses who know better, that refuse to take the poison poke, and so they're out on their you-know-whats. And now there's a chronic shortage of trained hospital workers. Arguably, all they really know how to do well is inject the Zyklon B, and of course keep their mouths shut in the process. Why it is people can't see the obvious, folks, I would have said, I don't know, but if you've seen what the state of public miseducation and indoctrination is, maybe it's beyond obvious at this point. Oh, and let's give credit where it's due. Joseph Goebbels would salivate at the level of propaganda Americans are now subject to daily. And how bad is it? Well, it's so bad that even some former leftists, at least they were always honest journalists, are waking up to it and writing about it. One of them is Glenn Greenwald, who wrote via his Substack.com that the shorthand label anti-vax once had a clear and concise meaning, even if it was bogus, folks, namely those who rejected the prevailing Western scientific orthodoxy that vaccines are a safe and effective means of protecting humans against infectious diseases by training the natural immune system to combat a pathogen in advance. Blah-de-blah. But just as we've seen with so many other political labels, he continues, terrorist, racist, fascist, white nationalist, anti-Semite, this once descriptive, precise, even useful phrase has now metamorphosized far beyond its original meaning into something barely recognizable, much less cogent. That transformation, he suggests, has been deliberate with a clear motive to weaponize the term into a potent political insult designed to compel submission to decrees from institutions of authority and to stigmatize dissenters, threatening them with reputation destruction or worse. And he goes on to say that just as is true of accusing people of being all those other nasty things like terrorists or white nationalists or fascists and so forth, although lots of them are really fascist, folks, they just don't have a clue what the word actually means anymore. The destructive power of the COVID iteration anti-vax resides precisely in its vagueness, its lack of precise contours, its emptiness, its very meaninglessness. A term that means nothing by definition and by design, says Greenwald, can encompass anyone and everyone depending solely upon the needs of the moment. The utter obliteration of any coherent definition is evidenced by the fact that one can now be labeled anti-vax even though one A, believes in the foundational science of vaccines, B, is even themselves vaccinated for COVID, and maybe even makes a decision to inject their children as well, and C, states publicly that they have chosen to be thus infected, vaccinated. How is it possible, he asked, to pull off such a seemingly inane and internally contradictory attack, namely, malign people, even those who have taken the vaccine and publicized their choice to do so, as anti-vax? Well, the answer, he says, is by twisting and distorting the term anti-vax away from its once scientific meaning, i.e. one who rejects the efficacy of vaccines, or what now passes for them, into a term of political disobedience. I.e., one who even questions any of the decrees of public health authorities, or who even believes that adults should actually have some authority and autonomy over their own bodies and what gets injected into it, or not. In other words, folks, anti-vax really now means anti-Big Brother. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.